Great to have your company on the Big Sports Brekkie, running through some of the sports news from overnight. The Premiers, Penrith, have been rocked by an injury to star co-captain Nathan Cleary. He's expected to miss up to a month of football with another hamstring issue. The Parramatta Eels, well, they've suffered a massive blow as well to their premiership chances. Star halfback Mitchell Moses set to miss up to 3 months with a fractured foot, but we're hoping it might be, say, more in the two-month category. In AFL news, Tom Duday, he's going to make his Brisbane debut in Thursday night's grand final rematch against Collingwood. Really big game for both of those teams. He got through his VFL comeback on the weekend. And it's been revealed two Sydney Swans AFLW players were charged by police with possession of an illicit drug late last year. They've been through the police and court system, and that news broke last night. I mentioned in F1 news, Dan Ricciardo has reportedly been handed an ultimatum by Red Bull head honcho Helmut Marko to find some pace in the next two races, or he's more than likely going to be axed by Red Bull. And Peter Malnati snapped a 9-year victory drought, making a key birdie on the penultimate hole to win the US PGA Tour Valspar Championship. That was an emotional win and fantastic to see. And just quickly, in some basketball news as well, the LA Lakers defeated the Indiana Pacers 150-145 on the back of a 36-point double-double from Anthony Davis and Chris Middleton. He had a triple-double and a double-double from Giannis. That led the Bucks to a huge 118-93 win against the West second seed there in OKC. So plenty of news there. The other thing, it was remiss of me not to mention it earlier, and I apologise for that. Are you guys into your surfing?
I can't surf. I don't watch a lot of it, but I know. Isn't it funny? I don't watch a lot of surfing, but I know a lot of surfers' names.
I like
watching. And I've watched some highlights.
I dare say you would know a few of the names involved in this year's Rip Curl Pro. So Bell's Beach gets underway today. It's an
famous,
iconic event.
Isn't it? Yep.
Absolutely iconic event there in Victoria. So gets underway today. 16 Australian surfers are in action, 9 men and 7 women. It's a world-class field. Overall fields include 36 men and 18 women. So among the 16 Australians, we have Ethan Ewing and Tyler Wright, the defending champions in the men's and women's events, and they're going to be in action. And what are some other names in there? Molly Picklum currently leads the table with 20-odd thousand points. So she's sort of one of those stars that we can keep an eye on from an Australian perspective, but there are plenty of others throughout the course of the day. So we've got Jack Robinson, Ethan Ewing, Jacob Wilcox is there, Ryan Callanan's there, Sophie McCullough, Molly Picklum, I mentioned, Isabella Nichols, Ellie Harrison, India Robinson, Tyler Wright, Sally Fitzgibbons, the list goes
this
on.
This is probably a silly question, but in the men's, does Kelly still surf?
Yep.
He's still going?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Sure is.
Remarkable. One of the greatest athletes we've ever seen.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Phenomenal, mate. Phenomenal.
What he does is out of this world.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic to have you on the show, Danny Wadler, as always. Some fairly tough news, I'm sure, when it comes to Parramatta news, and certainly that from Penrith as well on the injury front. But great to have you on.
Morning, gents. Before we get into that, Pup, did you hear what those blokes were saying about you while you're away?
I didn't, but I can only imagine. And I wouldn't dare listen to them.
Well, Danny joined in as well. Don't you try and get out of it, Danny.
I've got no doubt either. I know what I'm in for when I walk out this door. Don't worry about that.
Mate, they had you in one of those waxwork joints.
It's okay.
The way you're looking.
Yeah, that's okay. Jealousy's a curse.
Well.
Jealousy is a curse.
But, mate, I haven't been game enough to go there, but I will now.
What?
Now that Denny's...
Well, you see me every day. Yeah, you tell me. Tell me what you see. You see me every day. Do you see any difference? But
what happened in those photos?
I was under lighting. Right. I had makeup, and there was a filter on it, and it was one photo. Yet they made out I had liposuction, filler, and Botox.
Because you did look different,
mate. Of course I did. I just gave you three reasons why. Under lighting, with you see me every day.
Oh, I do.
Do I look any different to what I did a month ago? And if I'm going somewhere to get work done, trust me, it's not Pakistan.
hey, Pap, I need a bit of help. Can you give me some tips? Where I should go?
Work hard and be good to your mother.
What would be the first thing you do, Danny?
Oh, mate, chop the head off.
We'd all do, mate. We'd all go lipo. If we all had a choice, we'd all go lipo.
Yeah, get rid of the handles.
Take a few off here. Yeah. Take me to that office.
Mate, they wouldn't have a machine big enough for me.
Nah, you're all right, mate. You're travelling okay. What about the news yesterday with the halfbacks? First, it was Nathan Cleary yesterday afternoon, and then Mitch Moses. Are they serious, Denny? And or how serious is Cleary? They're saying only a month, possibility of a month. But Mitch Moses is the one because they're saying it could be up to 3 months.
Yeah, Laurie, it was a big news day, like you said. And the Nathan one, so I got a message from his agent because I was trying to find out the exact severity of it. Penrith weren't giving any information up at all. I don't know why they were protecting it so heavily. But Nathan has told people that he is definitely out this week. He's got a small tear. He's some hope of next week, but most likely to play after the bye, which probably we're a hammy at this time of year. That would make sense, wouldn't it? I mean,
most definitely.
Pup, you're a hammy expert. You know how delicate they are.
Well, I said to the boys this morning, I think the major concern would be, is it the same hammy as last year? Because if it is, then they'll definitely take extra time to let it heal.
Well, I just think the time of year that they should they can afford to give it time now. Yeah. Nathan, they need him. Right, no, they need him in September, October. That's when they really need him firing. So a couple of games here. And Penrith are that good that, you know, yes, they will miss him, but they are a machine and they seem to produce players like, you know, in previous years we saw Sean O'Sullivan, Jack Cogger, now got Schneider as well. So, you know, there's blokes who can just slot into their system. They know their role. They are so well coached from a very young age all the way up, and they all play the same kind of footy. So, you know, that, the machine goes on, doesn't it? But they will miss him, obviously.
Yeah, most I'm interested to see, and I know they play a role, the players that come in to replace Nathan. But I'm just wondering, after the off-season that Penrith have had with Jerome now announcing that he's leaving and wanted to be the main man at the Tigers, whether they may look to change and go, there you go, Jerome.
Yeah.
You'll get the keys to the car for the next couple of weeks.
Well, I guess the West Tigers fans will be watching this, as will the West Tigers administration and coaching staff, because this is very much now Jerome's team to run, isn't it?
Yeah, most
I know we've got Yo there, and you know, you've got other tremendous players as well. But, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, it's going to be just to see how Jerome goes and how he handles the step up. And he can do it. I speak to someone like Gus, and he tells you that Jerome was a halfback coming up, you know, and he can run a side. And, you know, he does play that electric footed sort of play. But I had a chat to him, I think maybe last week it was, and he said he's putting a lot more time into studying, preparation, working out exactly, you know, strengths and weaknesses of the opposition. So he's becoming more, I guess, of a rugby league nerd. And I guess that, in a lot of ways, is preparation for when he runs, he's the CEO of the West Tigers next year. So,
what do you make of the South chaos, buddy?
Oh, mate. I've covered so much South this year.
Yep.
I was over in America with them. They were a happy camp, looked great, you know, but there's definitely something wrong there.
What do you think what do you think it is then, Denny? Because everyone can speculate and everyone can have their own opinions, because some people will say it was senior players and, you know, Cody and Latrell have too much sway. Then others will say, well, it's just their attitude to the way that they're defending in the game. And if you get blown apart in the middle, you're always going to struggle against any team. Others will say the coach is not strong enough. And there's different reasons, and you're hearing different stories about why South aren't going well. Have you been able to sort of get to the bottom of it?
Laurie, I'd get some sort of award if I could, because they say it's all in their four walls, they're all okay. Like, I've been to a lot of their training sessions. They look like they're training pretty well. You know, they've had some niggling injuries here and there, but all clubs have. But look, I mean, Latrell gets blamed, but I don't think he's been. I don't think he's been terrible at all. I think he's been, you know, above average this year. So I don't know whether we can chuck everything at Latrell. I don't think, like Cody would admit, he struggled with a calf injury coming into the season. I think he had a couple of them actually. and that hasn't helped him at all. When South need him to hit his straps, and the whole halfback situation, they just, you know, chopping and changing your half after a couple of weeks. Did we see much difference on the weekend?
No, not a great deal.
No.
I didn't think the young halfback went too bad, to be fair.
He didn't go bad at all, but there wasn't
didn't
a huge
justify
difference.
Them dropping Ilias, in my opinion. No
you wouldn't, yeah, you'd think that if you train with one bloke all off-season and you put your... You
know, give him more than two games, and he's a youngster as well.
They've given him a while in terms of years. Like he's had, but that he's a guy they invested in instead of Adam Reynolds. So they have to back him all the way, you'd imagine. So things must have been pretty dire for them to make that decision. And yes, the coach is under extreme pressure. Did we expect South to win the first three games this year? Probably not. It's just probably the size of the defeat to the Roosters, who are their arch rivals, and that clash means everything. And they were wiped off the park totally. Mm. They weren't in the game. And yes, the Roosters are a good side, but you know, on paper, so are South. So there, it feels like there's something wrong there. I can't put my finger on it.
Well, you mentioned he's under pressure, and obviously any club and coach that loses three in a row is always going to be under pressure. But there's under pressure and then your job's on the line. And that storyline started to circulate over the weekend that he may only have 3 weeks before South pull the trigger, depending on the results that go their way. Is that the way you're seeing it, or is he safe?
I believe that storyline came out of South. I don't think journos are plucking this out of thin air. I didn't rake that story, but I think that the way that line of thinking has come out of South Sydney, I'd be shocked if a journo would just suggest that, you know what I mean? And we know how these things work, or if someone says something to a journo and they go with it. Now, the issue here is, if they lose to the Bulldogs, that's when the you-know-what hits the fan. Simple as that. I think you've got to come a little bit of slack. You've got to realise that they had maybe a slightly disruptive start of the year. They played against some very good sides, but they lose to the Bulldogs. And if they got Sharks and Warriors, they should win. They need to win two out of those three, don't you think, to at least dull the noise.
I think this weekend dulls the noise a little bit. This weekend is so important for South.
Laurie, they should win, shouldn't they?
I think they do. I'll be tipping them, but I'm tipping them on a little bit of hope too. And
you're
what
tipping them on form 12 months ago?
Yeah, I am. If I'm purely looking at form, it's Bulldogs. But I get the feeling that they can win this game, and what happened to them last week was embarrassing. And if they're a United footy team, they turn it around. We'll learn a lot more about South this week than what we did last week, let me tell you.
Laurie, with that, like, the Bulldogs aren't going to lie down. The way that they're playing this year, I know they've...
Well, they're competing hard.
Yeah, they're having a crack. And the way that... the way they lost pretty badly to Cronulla, but I felt like, you know, that game could have gone either way. They had got a couple of ordinary decisions. Their competitiveness has been good in all their games. That doesn't guarantee you a win. But, you know, they'll make South work hard for their points. And that's where if they can keep South close, South could get nervous. Yeah? And the Dogs I know they've got 32 against the Titans. I don't know if they've got a heap of points in them every week.
Yeah.
But, you know, South do. But what the Dogs have shown South had to do this year is to really have their hearts and minds in the game.
A few people are texting through, Danny, and I guess the primary sentiment on at least two or three of them is that they don't agree in terms of Latrell playing well, but it's more defensively. Do you feel as though he does have a few misgivings on that front, at least in the first few games that we've seen this season?
I'm not... When it comes to X's and O's and all that sort of stuff, I'm like everybody else. I just go on what I see. I wouldn't say I'm a Laurie Daly-style expert, but I don't think he's been terrible. I don't think he's the reason they're getting flogged.
I think it's attitude, because I watch the way that they defend, and it all stems off the back of the aggression, the intent, the movement in the line, and what I've seen, I just haven't seen them be that committed to that part of the game. So until they improve that and all basic errors in the contest, they're not going to improve.
Well, they're conceding in more than 37 points a game on average.
Yeah, and that's Exhibit A. Exhibit A for me.
Is that the fullback?
Well, it's one thing I will say about Latrell, he's got to get better positionally. Because there was a moment in time last week where the Roosters kicked it, and they kicked it from midfield, and it went to the middle of the field near the post, and the left winger, Alex Johnson, caught it. And I'm looking at that thinking, no. Unless Latrell's injured, that's the fullback's ball and responsibility every day of the week. What's the left winger doing over there in the middle of the field, late in the tackle count and taking the fullback's ball? So for me, I would have loved to have seen Latrell catch that and return it.
Should he be playing centre, Laurie?
Well, I think it's something you've got to look at moving forward. And you know what? At the start of the year, people were asking me about Jack. You know, where's Jack best suited? And I still think he's best suited at centre. But I reckon if they need some aggression in defence and they need to get back to playing a more direct style early in the season and in round three, just to get them humming and not shifting the ball sideways as much as what they do, I think you nearly seriously got to look at Cody to half and Jack to 5'8" for this week, just to get that confidence, because Jack defensively is so good and he will bring that aggression and line speed that you're after. Whereas out in the centres, he can't really do that. So I'm thinking I've got to find a way to get this team humming a bit, and it's got to come off the back of the way they work in defence and how they get their line speed and aggression going. And I'm thinking that that's probably what I'd do this week.
Conversely, Loz, with Jack Whiten leaving the Raiders, have you been impressed from Canberra side of things in terms of players lifting and...
Oh, no, I haven't been impressed, because that's what I thought they'd do. Mm-hmm. So I think what they've been doing is exactly how I thought it'd play out to start with. Because I said on the program, when Jack even left, he's been a wonderful player. I could be one of the greatest that we've had at the club. But he's a running 5'8". He's a running 5'8". It's always easier to replace a running 5'8" than a ball player as a 7 or a 6.
He had a compression bandage on yesterday at training and didn't do a lot, which isn't a great sign, I guess, for South. I mean, I saw him hobbling a bit out on the field. But the interesting you say about thing about Jack Whiten, Laurie, is having spent a little bit of time around South, I've learnt that he's actually a fantastic leader. I didn't know that about Jack. I know he's had a bit of a wild child reputation, but amongst the playing group, they listen to him. He's front and centre of a lot of stuff. He's an energy sort of player, and he inspires people around him. And I was really, that really opened my eyes to seeing him around the South Skies, watching him how he handled the public situations where, he was placed in promotional activities. You could just see that the South players looked to him to provide leadership, and he did it every time. So, yeah, he's got a big role to play for them.
Danny, from a Tigers point of view, I think it's fair to say a big relief for Benji Marshall and co. What a day it was for the Tigers faithful there at Leichhardt on the weekend. And it was kind of refreshing, given all the pressure, to see Benji enjoying himself.
The puppy should have been on the board.
Nah, I told you. They don't need me.
He should have joined up. Back the winners. What do we think of the team song, how they were singing off a sheet? I've had a few people sort of chip me saying, do you think that Benji should have been singing with the team? I've got no problem with it.
I've got no problem with it. It's a new song too, isn't it?
Try and find something else to criticise Benji with.
I like Benji. I'm not criticising.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general. Like, they smoked him before a game was played. They're smoking him about his coaching technique. Mate, they just won a game. For a lot of the players, they haven't won many in 2 years. And for a lot of them, it's their first win. So I don't care if you read it off a chalkboard. Just learn the words. Sing it as loud as you can. I hope they got blind.
Mate, I would have been happy if Benji was doing head spins. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Coach, it wouldn't worry me if they're going to win.
Yeah, exactly right.
And look, the criticism of him, look, what's wrong with people having some family time?
Oh, mate. Honestly, like, everyone does it. Much, it's just because he said it.
How much can you work?
Like, everyone does it. Every single coach in any code, they go home and they see their wife or their husband or their kid.
But to be fair to Bulldog, he was just posing the question.
No, 100%. When you read the article, it's very different, like a lot of things, very different to the headline.
Yeah.
So you're 100% right. Yeah. But what Benji's doing, Benji probably shouldn't have said it. But what Benji's doing is what every single one of us does. Go to work, work your backside off. A lot of the time when you're starting, you work overtime. Hmm. That's part and parcel of whatever you're trying to have success with. And then you go home and you see your family.
Yeah, no, I've got no issue with that. I think if you've got a great balance, it works out for everyone.
Yeah.
I was speaking to this to one of my colleagues, Michael Chamis, about it. And he knows Ivan Cleary's routine pretty well. And they reckon that Ivan is the best at delegating out of any coach in the league. And you know, you'll find Ivan with his family off having a surf, doing what he loves to do.
Yeah.
You know, and he knows the importance of being able to give other people roles in a club situation. And that's I guess that's a skill in itself, having enough trust in people around you to say, okay, this is your gig, you do it, I trust you, and we're in this together. And I heard, I heard Benji praise Johnny Morris, his assistant, in his post-match presser. We don't hear that often, you know, sort of talking about the Tigers' defence. And I thought that was an indication that Benji can put his ego to one side and say this is a team effort in terms of obviously the playing group, but also the coaching group. And that in itself is not necessarily a common thing or an easy thing to do in a high-pressure job like coaching an NRL team.
As always, lots to discuss, and we've got a fantastic weekend of rugby league coming up. We've got tickets to give away before the news, Danny, so we'll say goodbye.
Thank you, Pop. I need your surgeon's number, please.
I'll text it through.
Thank you.
Long drive, though, to Pakistan.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. Yes, this is the Big Sports Brekkie. One text came in, and clearly this person doesn't know me too well. Benny, one way to win over the crowd is to give us a nice little tip for today. So, with that in mind, not too many would want it, but I'll give you one. So, in fact, I'll give you two. Tari Race 2, number 6, Seasons of Mist, as a sticky draw, but we'll leave that with Lee Magorian. You're talking around the $2.50 range for both of these, so if that's too short, you might consider a double. The other one, Race 3, Tari, which is Rum Diary. Another one that's drawn a little poorly, but Andrew Gibbons teaming up with Chris Lees there around the $2.50 mark as well. So, one, the progeny of the Autumn Sun. The other one, by Written By. A couple of chances for you there. And if they lose, I'm not on tomorrow. So,
who cares?
Cop that, Jared. Mm. Yeah. Are we
good attitude?
Thank you.
It's what we like. Just throw us under the bus.
We've had good guests throughout the course of the day, haven't we?
Steady.
Not bad. You'd only rate them as steady.
I just feel like you're in a real friendly mood for the guests, but you're not in a friendly mood to Mido. You're just happy to throw them under the bus.
See, we've got a history.
Come on.
We've got a history.
It's either love all around or...
No. He throws me under the bus considerably more regularly than I throw him under the bus. And he has an easier platform to do it on here as well. Mm. What was it that he did to me?
Oh, no, didn't he talk about you getting home partying and junket of a lifestyle you had?
Unforgivable. There are,
well, you know, you went
to
go
on
nightclub.
TV and radio, you blind,
went to the
drunk.
From the nightclub to the studio.
Yeah,
TV
I believe
studio.
It was
smashed.
Yeah.
Mm. No. Did he say that?
No.
Right.
I think he said no sleep.
I just added a little bit of GST, as we do in here.
Yeah, that's fair enough. No, they were the Casablanca days. But that was a different phase of
Casablanca.
Life.
Casablanca.
These
that
days,
was a good spot.
If I'm not in bed by 10 p.m., I'm broken the next day. So, anyway, those days are long behind us. The reason
Speak
I ask
yourself.
About the guests, and you're right, I have been friendly to our guests because I've loved having them all on, but I'm really excited to have a chat to James Jordan as well, who is a midfielder at the Swans and does a brilliant job. We've talked about it. The Swans are airborne at the moment. I mean, the Raiders are one thing, Loz, but the Swannies in the AFL.
Sydney final. Mm. GWS v Swans for the flag, I'm going with.
I think both Mido and I, before the season started.
I reckon.
That was our prediction.
Big chance.
He's one-eyed.
Early close.
Mido.
Yeah, with a lot of things.
Yes, but he absolutely loves his Swannies.
Yeah.
But James.
Well, the way they're playing. Well, hard to doubt now. At the minute, hard to doubt.
I reckon they're...
Still a long way to go.
Yeah, of course.
Still a long way to go.
Absolutely. But that said, it's the style of play as well, which is attractive. And the Swans at their peak, probably mid-2000s when they picked up a flag, Swans fans will not agree with this, which is fine. But I think they were one of the... They won ugly regularly. Low scoring, defensive, under Paul Ruse, that sort of stuff. But this style of play...
It's all about pressure, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. But this style of play that John Longmire has is still about the pressure, but it's all about the speed in the legs, including from this guy, James... Great to have you on the show, and we cannot wait to see you guys back in action on the weekend. But 131-101 against Essendon, fantastic win on the weekend.
Hey guys, yeah, thanks for having me. It was it was another good win, and it's been a great start to the year, that's for sure.
James, on the early season success, how important is training when you're playing so well? I guess keeping your feet on the ground, but also keep trying to get better. Can that be difficult at training?
No, I think we've got a very good group who are very driven just to always get better. You know, we know we're not always going to be perfect, and there's always going to be things as a team and individually that we can work on for sure. And, you know, all the boys are pretty driven and, you know, training each week, you know, with different team, and there might be different stuff that we need to implement that week. So, you know, all the boys are very driven to keep getting the most out of themselves because, yeah, it's been a great start to the year and we definitely want to keep that going.
What about your style of footy? Benny was just talking about it then. Has it changed much from last season, or is it just that consistent build from last year into this year?
Yeah, well, obviously coming into the team this year, being new to the game plan and everything, you know, playing against Sydney, they're always a high-pressure team and, this year is no different, and I feel like our ability just to transition the ball and really outwork teams this year is something that stood out to me. And you know, they probably last year thought that in last quarters that they were getting run over a bit, and off the back of a massive preseason and the work the boys have put in, I feel like our last quarters this year have gone to another level.
Okay. And you made the decision to come to Sydney. What was it about Sydney that you wanted to come, and what was it about Sydney that they saw in you that you could add to their team?
Yeah, so I met with Horse and Charlie Gardner there, and they seen there was an opportunity to bring another midfielder in, and I feel like some of my strengths are that I can play I can play inside at half forward, and just add that versatility to the team wherever that's needed. And, you know, it was a very good opportunity there. You know, me and my manager thought that something different would be good. And, probably just a bit more opportunity was the main driving factor for that.
I mean, the scary part about the team at the moment is you still have a couple to come back in. Luke Parker's the first one that springs to mind with his broken arm. But that midfield, we've certainly seen players you think, all right, in players' absence, and he's won, what, multiple BNFs, in players like that's absence, who's going to step up? I feel like four, five, six of you have kind of taken that mantle and increased the workload and seem to be really thriving.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like it's just off the back of really strong pre-seasons. You know, Isaac Heaney trained a full pre-season in the midfield, and, you know, he's been arguably best on ground three games in a row, so... you know, everyone's really bought into the idea of having multiple guys go through that midfield, and it's been a real selfless sort of nature about it this year. You know, rotating through that half forward, going inside, and it's been really good. And the boys have been awesome.
You're a part of that group that won a premiership with the Demons only a couple of years ago. Does the Swans give you a similar feel about what they're about, and where you may end up at the end of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, as I said before, it's a really driven group, and the buy-in this year, you know, we sat down at the start of the year, and just the buy-in to roll and doing what the team needs at that specific time is really important. And I've definitely seen that in the first 3 weeks, that's for sure. And it's been great.
And how personally have you found living up here in Sydney compared to being down there in Melbourne? Because we know that, you know, they're fanatical down there, whereas up here in Sydney, you can go about your business a little bit more easier. So how have you adapted to life in Sydney?
Yeah, it's very different. I haven't spent too much time up here before moving up, but yeah, I'm loving it. It's a great lifestyle here up here, and you know, just to get away from footy as well, go sit down on the beach, and you know, just makes going when you are at the club, just yeah, that going 100%. And yeah, I'm loving it. Took me a bit to get my bearings of where everything was and everything, but yeah, like you said, it's a probably an NRL dominated state, but you know, we had 35,000 there on the weekend and 40,000 there in round zero. So yeah, it's been awesome to see the turnout from the Swans fans, and you know, we definitely want to keep our winning ways and yeah, keep them coming to the games.
And it must make it easier for you though to just go to training, do what you need to do, and then get away from football, whereas I'm assuming in Melbourne it's just 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, still, we got, even for guys like Brody, it makes a massive difference just to be able to switch off from footy. And then when you are at the club, you know, you give it all. And then when you're away from the club, you can just wind down and reset and enjoy it. So, yeah, it's been good. I'm loving it.
Whereabouts are you living, mate?
I'm just in Randwick there. So
he's a stalker. Be careful.
Yeah. If you ask for address, don't give it to him.
you're at which beach? No, you're a fair way from me at Little Bay. So you're safe for now. Hey, we do need to ask about Harry. How has he pulled up after the concussion the other night?
Yeah, he's in good spirits. I seen him after the game, and yeah, he was getting around the boys. And yeah, I'm just really glad to see that he's all right. And, yeah, he was doing well. He's into the club today. So, yeah, he's going well.
I didn't do a – he's one of the greats, isn't he? I didn't do a head count, but were you in there flying the flag? There was an immediate response from the guys.
Yeah. I was on the bench at that time, so I couldn't really do too much. But, yeah, I think that's just the boys just looking after their teammates. You know, we're pretty close group here, and you know, you never want to see anyone get hurt, that's for sure.
No. Yeah, James, can I ask, mate, because I've read a bit about not only that incident, I know you can't comment on it, but just Essendon in general, is that part of their style this year to be more aggressive, or did they see that as a potential weakness in the Swans to get in their face, get in their grill and be a bit more aggressive towards you?
No, I think that's just going to be a part of sort of how they play. You know, last week against Hawthorn, Brad Scott come out and said they wanted to play with a bit more of an edge. So yep. I think we've seen a bit of that against Hawthorn as well, and then on the weekend as well.
I'm not in any way suggesting that instruction led to Peter Wright essentially overcooking it, but we are expecting that decision tonight. So the immediate response from the guys probably gives you every indication you need to know that the sentiment amongst the Swans boys was that all wasn't what it should be in that incident. How did you read it?
Yeah, definitely. I think the most important thing is that how Harry was feeling, and you know, that happened in the moment. You know, and the boys reacted the way they did. But I feel like after that, you know, we're able to, you know, dial it back a little bit, just from being quite wound up, but and just get on with the game and you know, play the right way.
So you think he should get 2 months? Hey, you got Richmond coming up over Easter. They've been pretty good this year, a little bit improved on what we saw from the last year.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. It's going to be another challenge, that's for sure. And the boys are very excited. You know, they got a new coach in Ooze who was at Melbourne when I was there, and they'll be trying to get a win for him, that's for sure. But yeah, they're a quality football side, and they have been for, you know, a number of years, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're a funny team because they're 0-3, but last year they just weren't themselves, and you just get the impression, at least in two of the games thus far, they've just been that, I don't know, a bit more switched on. Not back to their old selves. I don't think they're going to get back to that.
I haven't seen enough of Richmond this year, but how's Dusty going? Is he still someone that needs plenty of attention, James?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a quality player and has been for a number of years. And, you know, if you let him sort of do what he wants to do, he'll really hurt you. So,
Have you ever been the victim of a Dusty Martin fend?
I reckon I copped one in my first year, I reckon. But, yeah, that sort of made me realise I was here, and Yeah, he's not bad at it, is he?
mind you, I reckon, and I hate talking him up because he can talk himself up enough. I reckon...
Easy. Don't make it personal.
Ramps.
No. Oh, you don't like Dusty.
No, not Dusty.
Oh.
No, I'm talking about Dane Rampey. I was about to say Ramps had a fend in, I think it was round one, and it was on Bailey Fritch, and it was every bit the calibre of a Dusty fend.
Oh, really?
Every bit. No, I'd happily talk Dusty up. But Ramps.
Not Ramps. You don't like him.
I know him too well to like him. I've played a lot of footy with Ramps, and he truly is one of the greatest. But did you see, his fend was elite.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very nice, and
yeah.
It's probably the perfect one that you want, you know, when they hit the deck as well. So he was very happy with it.
It's the footy equivalent of the NBA crossover, I reckon. Just a rude fend to the chest. Hey, James, best of luck over the course of the Easter weekend and, of course, through the season as well. Hopefully this won't be the last time the boys get to chat to you. I'm sure Mido would love to have a chatty. He loves his Swans and he loves you.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. No, really looking forward to it. This week, so yeah, it'll be good. Thanks for having me on for the chat. It was good.
Good on you, James. See you,
cheers,
mate.
James. This is the Big Sports Brekkie. Dave Stanley standing by. We'll have a chat to him to see what's coming up in the show very shortly. But first, let's head north to Steve Hewlett. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What's
excellent
coming up?
Oh, we've got a couple of key jockey bookings for the upcoming Doncaster, so I'll relay that information basically at the start of the program. Also tell you about a Kiwi horse that was very impressive winning on debut a few weeks ago, has now been purchased by clients of Chris Waller, one of the biggest owners in the country, and may be set towards the Queensland Winter Racing Carnival. So a filly that was very good on debut, heading to Chris Waller. Orchestral, in my opinion, will start odds on the weekend in the Vinery. We'll talk to Robert Wellwood about her, and we're going to pay tribute to JR John Russell, who called for Sky Channel for so many years, and Brian Martin and I are going to reflect on the career of John Russell this morning on Racing HQ.
I feel as though each and every week, Steve, a new trainer has a new quiet little tip for the Queensland Carnival. It might be a youngster heading towards an Oaks, or it might be a Kiwi that might be heading there as well. But it seems a real target carnival now for trainers all around the country.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And it's that time of year too. You're going to be watching some of those races in New Zealand. And, you know, we're hoping I Wish I Win, for example, will be one of the headline acts after he runs in the TJ. Peter Moody's pretty keen to maybe run him in a Kingsford Smith at Weight for Age, 1300, or a, who knows, a Doomin 10,000. So at this stage, there should be a strong Kiwi representation and some very good, other horses from big stables as well, targeting some of the big ones. So we can't wait for it. It's not that far away, actually.
Absolutely. And it's always an awkward time because the futures markets aren't open yet for those races. And you don't want to call up and say, hey, when their market opens, can you just include this horse? Because you know they're just going to cut your price in half. Steve, I can't wait for the show. We'll chat later on.
Yeah, I'll give you an early tip for the Doomin Cup right now. Amakura for Chris Lees.
Love it. Okay.
See ya.
Thank you very much. Amakura, who of course went up
Queens
north
and Oaks
last time out and took out a Group 1 there. Ollie on board?
Ollie on board.
Ollie and Chris Lees teaming up once again. How are you, Dave?
Very good, Ben. Very good, Laurie.
Hey, DS.
How
what's
are you
doing,
mate?
DS?
Going well, buddy.
Packing. How awful is packing a house?
Oh, I know.
Where are you off to?
Where do you get the keys tomorrow?
Moving, in the stages of moving. Yeah. So I'm moving a couple of suburbs away. But, and then obviously packing with the better half is too. Different approaches.
Yeah.
Like you can see, I've just turned up today in, it's because I've accidentally, I packed all the jeans and everything away. I don't know why I've done that. But,
No, it's not a great job.
It's the worst.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Tell us about the different tactics you both adopt.
Well, I've just sort of gone for the,
chuck it all in.
Throw in the box. Yeah. Away we go. I find that the better half wants to analyse everything. So, take something off the shelf. I remember this. Mm. Remember where we were. And I've got no time for this is your life.
I know where we bought it.
I don't really care. Let's just put it away.
Are you writing on the box what it is?
Oh, mate, there's been that.
Yeah. Because that can cause...
And have you asked any mates to give you a hand?
No, I haven't, no.
Right.
No.
Because you'd find that a lot of mates have got something on this.
Well, it's Saturday too.
Yeah, this weekend.
And I'm very much like...
You're definitely busy if your mate's moving.
And I'm very much like...
can you give me a hand on moving this week?
Oh, Saturday, 10.
You've got to go to Canberra.
I would be filthy if someone asked me. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And have you found things that you couldn't find before when you've been looking for it?
Not really.
Usually you find stuff, I reckon.
No, you do because you're a hoarder.
Yeah,
you don't throw any out.
Yeah.
Too much photo. Like, I've already sort of, and I let it slip out. I made a blue last night. I made a blue. Yeah,
what'd you do?
Having some dinner, and we were talking about, you know, Saturday and unpacking. Mm-hmm. And I've just forgotten who I was talking to. I thought I was talking to you, Loz, and other mates. And I've just said, yeah, I'm going to set the TV up here, and the first race is at this time, and we'll do this. And, mate, it was just awful. And then it's just, you know, all you care about is racing and Foxtel and,
So
you know.
Which is accurate, but still.
Yeah. Extremely accurate. Yeah. Like, you know, I couldn't give stuff where the vase went. Let's probably where this goes. I want to know where the TV's going. I want to know where the internet port is.
Well, you'll have to get the TV set up first.
100%. That'll be the first thing.
Because then, while you're manoeuvring and putting boxes here and there and furniture and stuff.
And it just escalated. It escalated into, you know, all you care about is that TV. I don't want our life to revolve around televisions and, you know, all that. Oh, you know, 100%. It's just.
I had that the other day.
Don't you miss it, pup? Don't you miss it, pup?
Not one bit. Mate, I'll put the TV anywhere 100%. I want.
You know, and then I
sort of.
Do you
have a TV in your room, or you're not allowed to do that?
Well, mate, I sort of kicked up. I sort of, you know, said, "Oh, look, I'll have to. Oh, I should
God, I don't have to
turn
that
second room into a bit of an office, put a TV there.
Yeah,
you know, that way then I can have the race on in there. Just, you know, I'm just hitting brick wall after brick wall,
just out of interest, and I don't want to.
Single life.
You know me.
I love it.
I would never look to open old wounds.
Yeah,
but earlier on this morning, it was revealed to us that Loz doesn't entirely subscribe to birthday present giving. How would it go down in your house if you didn't buy a birthday
present? Well, first off, if I don't, the card, it seems the card is the big thing. And I'm not alone because I've got a lot of mates that have said the same thing to me. If you don't get a card or wrap the present, there's blow-ups. Oh. There's blow-ups. There's all these things. Pup, don't you? I know you're shaking your head and go single up. You'll be back, mate. You'll be back.
No, not for a while.
You'll be back.
I'm very happy. I'm as happy as I've ever been. There you go. And you just give me a few reasons to remind me why.
But Dave's right, you will be back.
Why do you have a present to profess your love for someone? That's all show.
Why do you need what?
It's what's in here.
What did you say? Why do you need what?
You're too good.
Why do you need to buy presents for what?
Yeah, to profess your love for someone when it's inside your heart.
How good.
It's inside your mind.
Mate, there would be massive blow-ups. Surely there's blow-ups if you don't buy a gift.
Nah.
At the start, there would have been. Now it's just like he hasn't. Yeah, but you'll
mate,
take.
I bought her something the other day. The other day. The other.
When last year. For a birthday.
No. And I bought her a necklace for our anniversary.
That was months ago.
Yeah.
No, it was 2 months ago.
Okay. Well, that's months.
Well, yeah, but it's not that long ago.
So it was a joint anniversary.
We're going on a big holiday. This year. So that's your gift. That's my gift. That's my gift.
Holidays. So when you get to enjoy the gift as well.
Buy her a barbecue. That's good.
Share in our family.
Get her a barbecue. Like the Tigers did.
At some point,
we should discuss what's coming
Nashville.
Yes.
Nashville is going to join me. He's at the trials this morning. So I've just joined Nash. I'd actually just chatted to him before I came in here, boys. So looking forward to seeing how he's riding gear up in the Tancred. He's riding Tootle La Vida. He's riding Tootle La Vida. And he's on Hawaii 5.0 in the Star Kingdom.
Ooh, Hawaii.
But gear up is what he...
What price?
What he is. $51 is currently in that all-in market. I had a look.
Mm.
So we're... and then your favourite, obviously, post-impressionist. Don't know whether they will go. They're going to have a possible little press conference tomorrow morning. But we will await and see what happens.
I know they're better horses overseas when they bring them out here in the middle distance and longer races.
Yep.
But to be able to do what William Haggis does most years.
He's freakish.
It is, isn't it?
He's freakish. And you know what? The other thing too is he's not here. He's at home having a cup of tea at Newmarket. He's got some incredible staff. They're just such good travellers. But also too, he just knows that... look, I said this yesterday on Punters Postmortem. Either they're just that good or we're not that good. At all when it gets to ten plus.
What do the experts say? I'm not saying that you're not an expert. But I'm not an expert. What is Duff and all them
say? I would say that. They're not in the category. We're not completely hopeless, but they are just far superior, And that way that horse won the Mannion on the weekend off just sat out the back and went whoosh. He was just a barrier trial. So we're going to have a big show.
Mm.
Looking forward to it, boys.
Love it. Enjoy, if you haven't had Isabella Paul on from the Haggis team yet, add her to the list. She's the travelling foreman.
Yep.
And as knowledgeable as anyone.
Okay.
Pick her brain. She'll tell you if they're a chance or not. Thanks very much to everyone for their company the past couple of days.
Well done, Benny.
Well done, Benny.
You can breathe a sigh of relief. Jared Middleton, Alfred is going to be back tomorrow with the lads. Good to have your company here on the Big Sports Brekkie.